Hey, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I was concerned that this episode was going to be, you know, two 30-minute chunks. The first 30 on Elmeron and the second on Trossard. And then out of nowhere, this guy Erling Haaland steps up and, you know, luckily gives us something else to talk about this week. So yeah. I think we've kind of got the table set for this episode. Haaland, Almiron, Trossard, right?
What I like about Haaland, too, is that I don't think anyone's talked about him so far this season. He's flown under the radar, you know, and so I think it's... I think that what happened this week with Haaland is... I felt like I was joking with you before we started the podcast. It broke the fourth wall of sorts where there were people who... There are people texting me who don't even play fantasy, you know, or like just follow that closely. And even they were interested in how it impacted fantasy. You know, like, what is it like when this one guy just cannot stop scoring? Like, how does that change the game? And I think, you know, I think you and I
he's like GameStop. Erling Haaland is like the GameStop stonks scandal or whatever phenomenon.
Yeah.
Suddenly AMC, everybody who wasn't day trading on their laptop is now suddenly like, maybe I could play the GameStop game.
Yeah, like how hard can FPL be, right? You create a team and just Captain Haaland every week. But I think it really is interesting what's happened there. And I think you and I, you know, a few weeks ago, both joined the, okay, I'm just going to Captain Haaland every week and really not think twice about it. And, you know, I think a lot of people have felt that way, but there's been a lot of I honestly think like it's reasonable. It is reasonable to not have Captain Haaland every week. You know, I mean, I think if you look through his first 9 weeks, right? Because there's this kind of almost like you and I are actually, I think, kind of optimistic about the impact of Haaland. I think we should talk about that in a second. But I think even just if you look at his returns, there are other expensive, you know, highly owned players that have outscored him in certain weeks, right? So, you know, just looking through the first 9 weeks, the season's actually eight because we don't have the game week seven. But, you know, game week one, he scores 13, Salah has 12. So, you know, effectively neutral there. Yep. Game week two, he scores 5. Kane scores 8. KDB scores 14. Right. So there you go. There's second weekend, already outscored by 2 of the premium assets. Game week 3, scores 6, gets outscored by Salah with 8. You know, only 2 points, but enough that, again, it's not like he's just, you know, destroying fantasy. Game weeks 4 through 6, he kind of does. 17 points, 17 points, 9 points. Outpaces all of the other premium players during that window. Game week 8, though, which is the last game week before the international break, only picks up 6 points. Again, it's incredible. I mean, the fact that he has an attacking return in literally every single match since he's joined Man City is insane. Even Salah, when he joined, was, you know, even like Mahrez and Vardy, the year Leicester won the league, were not this consistent. It's remarkable. So, but in game week 8, he scores 6. Kane, who by a lot of algorithms had Kane as the preferred captain pick for game week 6, and Kane did score 10. And then you even had Son, who scored 19 points as well. And obviously game week 9, Haaland scores 23, and that just annihilates everyone. And, you know, it's really, and I think a lot of people, you know, there are people who, and, you know, talk about the algorithms again, a lot of people felt like Salah was the pick this week. And it was very reasonable, right? It was they scored 3 goals in that match. I mean, it was, you know, we sort of thought that this one might be
they
a
scored
little
them the hard way, first. Josh, I think.
Yeah, it's like, it feels, isn't it interesting that all the high scoring matches that Liverpool have had this season have like prominently featured Firmino? Like, he's really he's back in a weird way. Like, he's unownable in fantasy, but also totally back. You know, I think he's really trying to get into that Brazil squad, you know, and so he's got like an extra gear right now. But I guess the point is I want to strike a note of optimism about Haaland, because I think even looking ahead to the next few weeks, there are going to be times when Haaland alternatives really do make sense. Obviously, you have game week 12 when Man City don't play at all. But, you know, looking at game week 10, Man City's home to Southampton. You're going to have to Captain Haaland there. I'm sorry. But game week 11, away to Liverpool, there's certainly at least an argument for going with somebody else. You have Spurs host Everton, right? So, Kane or Son would make sense. I think realistically, I can't see myself going with Salah over Haaland in a head-to-head matchup, right? Even at Anfield, I just think I'm going to be going Haaland in that case. I mean, it's really more about the Liverpool defense than Salah at that point.
And I think the way you're talking about this is a good qualification of what you said earlier, that we joined the Captain Haaland and don't think about it organization. Like, no, we are thinking about it. And this is what I bristle at when people talk about how Haaland is detrimental to your enjoyment of the fantasy game. Like, you don't have to think about the captaincy anymore. Well, I think you do. Like, just because the option of captaining Haaland is obvious doesn't mean that you're not aware of it, you're not cognizant of it, and it's still not a factor in the game. The choice is less difficult, obviously, which makes the game decision easier, less difficult. But it's not like you still have to. I mean, this is like almost like logic or philosophy. One still does have to take the step to make the decision to captain Haaland week to week to week. So I don't like the framing of you're not thinking about it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I haven't been thinking about it too much. Honestly, I've just been, it's like rolling with the hot hand. I don't know. I mean, it's like that team is clicking. He's on absolute fire. It's, you know, but I think,
You're thinking about it though. You've got logic. You're giving me some logic. And if you have a hot hand, you're acknowledging that hot hand. It's not like you're turning your brain off. It's not like your granddad who's playing fantasy for the first time and is, like we said at the top of the pod, like, hey, this is easy, anybody could do it,
and somebody
was commenting online, like, look at, there are major content creators out there, you know, Mark Southern's our buddy from Fest NYC. We can call Mark our buddy now because we hung out with him in New York.
It's not like one of the your boy things that we often just throw around on the spot.
Our boy, Mark Southerns. He captained KDB this week, and late riser from FPL Wire captained not Haaland. Content creators and other people are like, are they getting caught in this trap of thinking, like, quote, thinking about it and not captaining Haaland for it? Or are they thinking, I don't know, if they actually did not, quote, think about it, they would just captain Haaland, because the choice is, it's not simple, it's clear, is the way I would frame it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't, that's an interesting, I mean, like, I don't know that I actually think about it that way. I mean, I guess I would just sort of add, or maybe to a degree, I guess I agree with you, because historically, this is not anything new, really. I mean, we have had entire seasons where people have captained Sergio Aguero or Mo Salah or some other option. I mean, the difference is how consistent. I mean, when I say every week, I mean, you know, there are probably like two or three seasons ago. It would not surprise me if I captained Salah like 32 out of 38 weeks, right? Like, you know, somewhere in that range, right? Like seven eighths of the season. So I don't think that it's anything new. I think what makes it unique is the sheer volume of points that Haaland is putting up. It makes it seem even more extreme. And I guess if you're not captaining him for some of these, then honestly, like, this Manchester derby could have been a tricky match. I mean, I certainly captained him without any real hesitation, but I think that there was certainly, I don't know. I mean, the problem was when you factor in that Man United hadn't played in a month, I think that it was hard to come up with a story. I guess this is where, because I don't want to sound like I'm in any way, just because I find these tools very useful, but I don't want to sound like I'm in opposition to some of the analytical stuff. But I think that there has to be a moment that I don't know if you can really like compute, like when you look at Man United, you're looking at a team that didn't play a match since Labor Day weekend here in the United States, right? It has been like so long since they had actually played. And so I think it was hard to know what kind of squad you were going to get. And I just feel like, I mean, and to a degree that was true of Man City, although they did play one week more recently. And also that team is just a little more cohesive, right? I mean, you know, Man United have a new manager, they're integrating a ton of new players. I'd say they had maybe the worst luck of anybody when it came to the postponements from the Queen's passing, that they were the ones who were clicking. They defeated Arsenal. It looked like they were really putting themselves together. And I think even the second half of that match, the fact that they kept fighting and scored ultimately three goals in that match, a very good Antony goal, excellent goal. And then Anthony Martial, of all players, you know, the two Antonys, Brandon, you know, this is interesting.
It's like Rome, you know, all over again.
Antony, yeah, exactly. You know, the fact that they kept fighting, I was like, all right, well, this is, there's like a note. Like, I feel like if I were a Man United supporter, this would be one of the easier derby defeats to brush off, I think. I mean, the score makes it look tough, but I just don't know, my friend.
They got roundly destroyed.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, everyone's getting roundly destroyed. When Arsenal play Man City, they're going to get roundly destroyed. Like, this is just what's going to happen to everybody who plays Man City this season. And I think, you know, Everton and Newcastle the next 2 weeks, this is not a yardstick, by in my opinion. Like, them losing to Man City is like irrelevant as far as like the project of kind of reinvigorating.
Sure, I agree with that.
Goes, you know, yeah. So that's what I mean, I guess. And so, you know, but back to Holland. I mean, I guess, yeah, you're talking about it in an almost like how you sort of approach the game perspective. And I guess my the way I'm coming at it is more like, just from like a practical level, I see a lot of opportunities to not Captain Holland, you know, over the next few weeks. At least like the debate is not over. So maybe we're ultimately in the same place, because the conversation is not over. It's just, this is a moment where you really have to do it. And I think if you can even just put fantasy aside for a minute, what he's doing right now is so unusual, and the scale of it, right? Like the sheer dominance that we're seeing right now is so unique, right? It's like, it's a real, like, tell your kid, I don't want to say tell your grandkids and be that cliche, but like, it's like one of those things where you can, like, 10 years from now, you can be like, oh man, Erling Haaland's first season in the Premier League was insane, right? The way we talk about the Mahrez Vardy season, right? That was seven, 8 years ago now. And we still talk about it, right? Cause it was so remarkable. And so to me, it's like, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to Captain Holland this weekend. It was like, I wanted to see this derby. I was excited about it. And it's just like I want to be part of the project, you know, in like a way, like I want to be part of the Holland project. And like, you know, it's like, yeah, he's doing this every week and I just want to enjoy it. And I don't want to like be like, oh, this screws up my fantasy team. He's scoring three goals every match. You know, I just want to be part of the fun.
Josh, we have just gone through, I think, like two seasons. I mean, most pointedly last season, where we were all begrudgingly captaining Salah week to week, and nobody really wanted to because his form was good.
Especially in the second half. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of fleeting. And you're just kind of like, well, who else am I going to captain? I feel like historically. Yeah. And it was like captaincy decisions have been painful in recent seasons. And I'm with you. I'm like embracing the idea that we can sort of joyfully joyfully Captain Holland and without reservation, I guess, is what I mean to say. And, you know, I think the challenge then, I think what FPL managers find that to be jarring or negative is that now the challenge is harder to gain an edge with your fantasy squad. Because now that the captaincy is, you know, week to week, is probably solved for the short term, you know, suddenly now the arguments that we're having about sub 8 million midfielders matter more than they had maybe at the start of the season or at some point last season. And that makes the game a lot harder. It's not making the game easier, mind you. It's actually making the game more difficult.
Yeah. And I think that it's, even in the end, I think all the wild cards, I don't think they've really worked out well for anybody, you know, the wild carding that's happened. You know, we're
all
can talk
still
about
traveling. You know, when you're on the highway, right, Josh? And then you see the service road that's just off to the side of the highway. And, you know, your two cars traveling side by side, one's on the highway and the other's on the service
road. In theory, I could fly if I'm on that thing, right? But it never really works out that way.
I feel like that's a couple
stoplights. Yeah.
Particularly you and me, so you wild carded two game weeks ago. I still haven't wild carded. We're still neck and neck. And it's sort of like one's on the freeway, the other's on the service road.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
The appeal, though, is it is really broken up the look of all these teams, right? I mean, it's sort of I mean, you kind of have the, like, it's kind of interesting, actually. And I don't want to sound like I'm digging on the analytics card at all, but they're almost like, I was thinking about this yesterday. They're almost like one team, you know, it's like a Voltron, you know, it's like they, mm-hmm. like you look at like the player, it's like, it's almost like, it's like 10 or sometimes 11 of the same players in these squads, you know, and it's kind of, it's almost like if that's like a project in itself, you know, this sort of, you know, and so I think when you look at like, oh, like everyone's team looks the same. It's like, yeah, if you look at the Voltron of algorithms, you know, mm-hmm. like that, they have all linked up and they all have the same players. But I think overall, if I look at my mini leagues, if I look at even just like, you know, various things like the content creators leagues and things like that, I'm seeing a lot more, you know, variety than I was before. And so I think that that's a real benefit of these last two wildcards. And of course, people are going to keep doing wildcards, you know, over the next couple of weeks, yourself included. So, you know, I guess I don't know if we need to say anything else on Holland. I think we've kind of made our point here. I think that the point is just that this is fun, you know, it's fun what he's doing. And like,
it's amazing. Just
it's amazing. And like, I, you know, if you have gone the other way with some of his captaincy pick, you know, like if you've gone away from him the last few weeks and you're 4.3 million right now, like I do feel bad. Like that is not a fun spot to be, because it's just a hard thing to recover from. But I actually think even then I would just be Captain Holland for the time being and trying to make up ground with other players. And
right.
I think that
the worst thing you can do is double down in that situation and continue to to try to go then against the grain, you know?
Yeah. Game week 12, when Man City and Arsenal play, is a great week to go against the grain. Game week 13, where Man City play Brighton. Brighton should be a little tighter by then, and Liverpool go away to Nottingham Forest. So I should just say Forest, because I can never say the first part of that right. But
yeah,
Liverpool play away to Forest. That's a great, in theory, opportunity, right? To go.
And we have to put a pin in that, Josh. We've got to talk about Liverpool. So like talking about the two lanes, so the highway and the service road for the wild card. If I had wild card, and I wouldn't have Liverpool players right now. Currently, I have Salah and Diaz, as opposed to De Bruyne or Foden. So that, and for me, where I sit holding Liverpool players, I have a lot that I need to get off my chest about that.
Yeah, well, that is part of the main theme, I don't know, whatever, the main topic for this week's podcast, Brandon, outside of Holland itself, which I, you know, that is one of the, it's a case where I felt like it had to be right at the top, because it feels like it's on everyone's mind right now. I mean, he had 23 points. Like that is incredible, right? That's almost Aguero 5-goal level return, right? 3 goals and 2 assists, just remarkable. I mean, it really is incredible. What it feels,
I think,
like
105 BPS all told. Like that, and BPS for those who don't know is the scale at which produces the bonus points, which are doled out at the end of matches. And it's rarely, if ever, you see anybody get triple digit BPS. It's astounding, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, and I guess, especially when you include assists counting for less, right? It shows like just how involved he was. So on to our teams, Brandon. You and I are both neck and neck right now. I'm all out, as I believe you are. I'm on 540 points. I'm at 127K overall. That will change a little bit tomorrow. I really would love James Maddison to pick up an early red. A first minute red from James Maddison would really be like chef's kiss. So let's see what happens tomorrow. But you know, feeling you know, pretty good about my team. I think I have like you were saying, I have some issues that I've got to resolve in my, I mean, I don't know, you know, my sub 5 million players aren't delivering, which is like a, you know, this is like a classic fantasy dilemma, right? Like, how do you get the most out of your cheapest assets? And so, you know, that's something I'm thinking about a little bit. But, you know, 83 points all out and up about 75K. I was at 202 or so, something like that going to the, you know, the week, and 127 now. So I'm feeling really good about the, you know, continued growth. And let's see. Hopefully, you know, tomorrow doesn't knock me back too much. How about you?
Continued growth. I love it. Talking about our teams like they're our business. Stock portfolio.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you got to go on a podcast every week to talk about your team. It kind of feels that way.
It does. Yeah. We are high right now. I'm finishing 81 points all out. I'm at 539 total, so I'm 1 point shy of you. So you nicked me this week. 1,040.904 is my overall rank. So we're flying, feeling great about that. There were things that I really sort of like sliding doors moments for me this week mm-hmm. was, yeah, the Antony goal against Manchester City. I had not seen, like, the first 30 minutes of that Manchester derby, Ederson was putting on an FPL goalkeeper spectacle. And yeah. insofar as how does a goalkeeper astonish an FPL without having to make a single save? Well, he must have completed about 500 passes in the first 30 minutes. And he yeah. almost had an assist, launched a ball like to the 18. That was, I think it was Bernardo at the end of it. But he was exceptional. And then Antony unleashes that unstoppable shot. And then I have kind of like noticed like the huge, big rises that I've had in overall rank kind of depend on my Manchester City double defense coming through, Cancelo and Ederson. So yeah. I end up with 2 points from Ederson and one from Cancelo. I feel like that was really where I could have nailed it. Of course, then Martial coming on and getting his brace made that double clean sheet wipeout even more fleeting. And that's yeah. that's fine. Yep. Yeah. And then, yeah, my Liverpool players that we'll talk a little bit more about where we move with Liverpool in just a few minutes. But I think I kind of have to be okay with Diaz coming off the bench and finishing with 4 and Salah with an attacking return. Okay, fine, whatever. It keeps me in good standing in my current great rank. So, you know, Liverpool are kind of like not the worst thing that happened to me this week.
Yeah, I think that it's, I mean, the Liverpool project, yeah, let's, I mean, that really is one of those things where it feels like an entire pod right there, you know, talking about.
Yeah.
The Liverpool project, but let's table that just for the moment. There's a question from Chancer who says that there's a point separating you both. Do you ever speak of your own rivalry, or do you park it for the sake of podcast harmony? I think that we do. I think that it's what I like, and this reminds me of a couple of seasons ago. You and I were both inside or right around the top 10K. I think the rivalry is fun when we're both when it's a rivalry. I think that it's when one of us is doing way better than the other. We don't speak of it, right? It's like
it's not very fun then.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really. I definitely. I can honestly say, you know, maybe it's honestly is for the podcast or anything, but I would honestly say I do not root for you to have a bad season. I you know, it's like I definitely enjoy the podcast more when we're both doing well, and it's mm-hmm. and it feels like a rivalry. It's fun that we've been a point separate like the entire season, which is pretty crazy because our teams yeah. aren't even that similar. You know, I mean, I have like 4 similar players this week, and so it's kind of fun. Yeah, the way it's working out.
It is fun. I mean, we are very competitive, and yep. I think that occasionally peaks through on the podcast, but like we do put on our best faces when we sit down to do the yeah. podcast, but
manners.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It matters. Yeah. Like we, yeah, that's the draw of fantasy. That's the draw of just generally being a sports fan is to be competitive, and we want to win. I want to beat you. You want to beat me. Yep. I think that's where you get into those conversations about mental well-being, where competitiveness, like where is that balance? Because I believe part of the juice, it's like being a fan of scary movies, like a roller coasters. It's that like that adrenaline rush. And yeah. I'm kind of like, well, what would be fun about playing fantasy if you didn't really want to beat somebody, if you didn't have that rivalry? So it's good. You got to approach it from a healthy point of view. Yeah,
we talked about it in our Fest podcast too, but it is so much more fun if you can find even one single person to have a mini league with, right? Like just one other person that you can find. Maybe it's like, you know, if you don't have anyone like in your town or whatever, it's like just like a person that you know, at reply to a lot on Twitter or Reddit, right? Just ask them if you guys can do a head to head league together, or find mm-hmm. 3 of you and you're all going to compete to see who can score the most in the, you know, month of January. I don't know, whatever. Like just find something. Cause I think it really, if you're playing the overall rank game, it's not quite enough juice for me either. I need that like feeling of that I just did better than somebody I know You know, it's like part of the fun.
And that's us. And I think we're both the same there. And I think that it's true, though, that there are a wide variety of FPL managers out there, and some who just want to play against the field, who want to play overall rank, and that's better for them. So that's good. It's sort of like what we often say about understand what kind of manager you are. And then sort of embrace that and play that style. And then that's what's going to make the game fun.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm sure it's not fun. I mean, honestly, if you captained Salah this week, you're probably not listening to this week's pod, Brandon. You're probably,
I'm not co-hosting this pod right now if I did
exactly,
that.
Exactly. You're like, I am taking a break and I'll see you. I want people to hit the play button on your phone, Brandon, you know, so we still get the credit for that stream, but just play it silently next to you for a few minutes, you know, let's get that.
It's fine. You got work to do in silence. Yeah. Just put us on mute. Exactly. It's great.
Yeah. Log it out. All right. So, just quickly, I did want to give a quick pitch for, Patreon, and, we have some new supporters this week, Joshua Bradley, Graham Plotter, and Mike Wellman. Graham Plotter. That's a fun little,
I love it. Graham Potter is up to something there.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't it be cool? Well, it would be cool actually if the signature had been like gpotter@chelsea.co or whatever.
It's like when Sam Allardyce supposedly became England manager and immediately renamed the Wi-Fi network at like wherever the England camp is, Big Sam. That's supposedly a true story.
That has to be. There's like a documentary in that, right? Like what happened with Big Sam there, like the arc of him. Maybe it's a movie. I don't know, like a feature, you know, just like the
it's called
gets
King
the job
Ralph.
Of his life, you know, and immediately just blows it. Yeah. Anyway, so patreon.com/alwayschange where you can go to get our King Ralph insights and more. We do an extra podcast every week for our Patreon supporters. We'll do one this Thursday, certainly. Lots to talk about right now. You also get access to the Slack, which is, going basically 24/7. Soon to be a Discord, Brandon. I've been promising this for 2 months and eventually.
And yet you keep talking about it.
I am like, I'd never been busier. I can't explain it. It's 2019 suddenly, Brandon. There's like stuff going on all the time. But eventually it will happen. Or you'll just do it yourself, which I'm trying to avoid happening. But anyway, patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support us. We do a monthly mug giveaway for the top scorer in each month. And this month, just to give us a little extra juice, especially because September was so tough on people, we're giving away a free kit to the top scorer in the month of October. You can join still. And if you join and enter the mini link for our Patreon supporters, you can enter into that top scorer contest. And the top scorer we're still figuring out the details. Either you can go there, you can pick out the kit, and we'll buy it for you, or we'll give you a gift card. You can buy it yourself, whatever.
This is like when my mom asks me what I want for Christmas and I just send her a hyperlink. I'm like, here, just buy this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just give us your address. Give us your social. You know, it'll be fine. Are there social security cards in the UK? I don't know. They must have some kind of card like that, right?
Like something we
have
like
in the US. Mm-hmm. Anyway, patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go. Let's take a break. We'll get back and we'll talk more about game week 10.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 10, this again, a return to normalcy. It's like 2019 all over again, Brandon. I just have questions, just questions about fantasy that we're going to go through and answer. It's so anyway, game week 10 in mind, sort of looking ahead to the next few weeks in general. And so, you know, to me, once you get past the does Haaland ruin fantasy question, the next big one is what to do. Max FPL says what to do with Liverpool assets. Mm-hmm. I have zero. You have two or three. You have three, right?
No, I have two. So I dumped Trent like 2 weeks ago. Right. And so I just have Luis Diaz and Salah. So I guess I, in a way, accurately predicted that the only, hay to make with Liverpool and fantasy right now is in the attack, because the defense is just apparently there's no saving it right now. And there can be many different discussions had about why, like Fabinho is, I'm not sure if he's being talked about enough, is just completely out at sea right now in that team, not helping at all. Van Dijk, et cetera, et cetera. So what do I do? So the temptation after game week 9 is, I've got Zaha with an incredible run of fixtures coming up. Perfect fill in for Luis Diaz. KDB is essentially unstoppable, and he's Mesut Ozil was at one time a fantasy asset who you could rely upon for returns just based on assists, and it's incredibly rare to have a consistent FPL points returner who's not scoring a ton of goals. And KDB only has one goal this season, if I have that right, his actual returns, one goal and eight assists. It's ridiculous. Like, and so I can't really justify having Salah over De Bruyne right now, especially with home Southampton on the horizon. So having said all that, that's all well and good. Great, Brandon. Just go ahead and do that. Diaz, Salah become Zaha and De Bruyne. Easy. However, there is that looming game week 12 in which it is a blank for City. So I think the calculation I'm trying to run right now is, can I justify two transfers in that Salah spot? So Salah becomes De Bruyne for two game weeks, and then De Bruyne becomes either Salah again or another midfielder. Is that silly season? Is that dumb? What do you think about that idea?
Yeah. I don't.
Because here's the crux of it.
Yeah.
The crux of it is we've been trying to, at least going into this Brighton match, and there were, as you mentioned, like stats tables and managers saying, all right, Salah is at least a viable vice captain. Having watched that Brighton-Liverpool match, It is just compounding the narrative of Liverpool are entirely lost right now.
Yeah.
And
it's almost
you can't wish this team to get back to their former glory. So to justify or to try to say, well, the returns are coming, just hang on. We can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of, if you decide that game week 12 you don't need to captain Mo Salah, I think it's a little bit easier. If you decide that, Salah is going to be hugely owned and highly captained in game week 12, and you just don't want to go without it, then the question is, the next 2 weeks you've got Southampton and away to Liverpool for Man City. The next 2 weeks, Liverpool play away to Arsenal, home to Man City. I would say those are, it's a little worse for Salah, but is it like drop a transfer worse? I don't think so. I think you just got to stick it out now that you're in this position. I think that because again, I don't know. I mean, I guess I just don't love it because I feel like there probably are other spots that you could shore up in the in between, right? You're talking about Luis Diaz to Zaha, and you have Mitro now too, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Mitro so always we might have a Mitro problem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We might have a Mitro. And of course, just in general, like, it's just so classic. Like, I have, like, avoided Mitro like the plague for years. And he starts so strong, and I bring him in for, I think it's a one-pointer and a zero-pointer the last season.
A player like this every season. It was Reece James for me last season where, you know, you'll miss every haul. Mitro's going to be that player for us this season. I guarantee it. So, so
is he hurt, by
have
the way? Like, do you know, as a Fulham supporter, do you have any inside scoop on the Mitro situation?
Sure. So it's an ankle injury that he picked up with Serbia over the international break, and he played through it and performed against Norway, scored a goal, and comes back and starts this weekend, and he aggravates it. So ankle injuries are just, you know, you know it. Yeah, and they can turn out to be things that stay with you for quite a while. Like Harry Kane has dealt with this, and other players. So I think Mitro, you know, he's a big tough Serbian lad. Maybe we'll know one way or another ahead of the West Ham game how he's feeling, how he's looking. Certainly, if he's in training, I think that he will play. I mean, Paulinho is the biggest issue for Fulham. So I think if you look at that defeat that Fulham had this weekend to Newcastle, that is largely down to their midfield just being a wasteland without Paulinho in there. Yeah. So
how many red cards did we get this weekend? Was it three reds out of 10 matches? That is proper no football for several weeks, right?
Right. Rash challenges, et cetera.
Yeah.
So back to the Liverpool question. Yeah, there are various other problems that I should or could solve, but I'm interested in the idea of proactivity as a fantasy manager. And while I generally agree with you that Salah is not really ripe for a move right now, just especially if you're looking to turn him into De Bruyne. And this is where, like, Spurs and Son come in. Like, the perfect solution here would be Son continuing his goal scoring exploits this weekend against Arsenal. But no, Son was again insanely peripheral to what Spurs were doing. And
it's Richarlison is the one. It's like he's like, it's incredible. I mean, like, we're really seeing, you know, who knows if it'll last with him, but we're seeing like the best version of him right now, right? It's like just like crazy work rate, like only flops like strategically now, like as opposed to Everton, where it was like everyone was like just like nails at a chalkboard. Now it's like, well, that was a perfectly timed, like, that's exactly what you should do there, you know?
Him winning the penalty was like, it was, as you say, it was great work rate, well won penalty. Apart from that,
totally legit.
I am not in the Richarlison camp, and I didn't think he had a good match against Arsenal. Apart from that one great piece of play to win the penalty.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not sure he was really responsible for any of the goals. I mean, Emerson Royale, I got kind of roasted for my take that it wasn't a red, but maybe I've just been watching too much NFL. You know, it's like it just like throws off my sense of what like the challenge is, you know. But I thought it was, I mean, fair enough, it was a yellow. I thought it was I don't know. What'd you think? Did you think that was a red card challenge?
Yeah, I thought it was a red. Yeah, studs, you know, rake down the ankle. Sure. Yeah that's easy red.
That's fair. All right. I mean, it just like, I don't know. I thought it was, it just like play on, you know, I don't know.
It's a derby. All right.
It's a derby.
On the games gone scale, Josh is at a 10. I like it.
Exactly. But whatever. It's not a take I'm like utterly married to. But I guess, you know, if you decided that you didn't need Salah for game week 12, then I think then you're in a position where you could consider going, you know, like, especially with two transfers, you could go Salah to Zaha and then take that money and turn Mitro into
Kane,
right?
You know? And Kane is a big target. And I think going back to Haaland, so we're talking about how there have been various weeks where Haaland has been outscored by other premium assets. That said, Haaland has still scored over the course of the season 40 more points than any other. The closest to him is Harry Kane. 56 yep. points to Holland's yep. 96. Staggering.
Yep.
But the reason yep. I bring it up is Kane has just been remarkably consistent. He has an attacking return in every fixture except game week one, in which he yep. weirdly did not get a return against in a 4-1 victory over Southampton.
He was like heavily involved in that match too. It was just a fluky kind of.
Yeah. Now, granted, he's not had huge returns. Like 10 is his peak, but hey, I'll take it. So Kane is for me kind of like a bigger, like the biggest target in the near term. And Salah is the key. And I kind of like want listeners to call in right now to give me their
just,
feeling.
I guess I just feel like it just feels complicated. I mean, if you do that move, then you're basically committing to not having Salah for game week 12. And I just knowing you, I it's hard for me to believe that you're going to be okay with that. And so, you know, I feel like if you could mentally commit that. Yeah, for me, it's easy. I mean, I've got KDB. I mean, my goal is just to free up point. I have 0.2 million in the bank. So I've got, you know, three game weeks or, you know, the game week 10, 11 and 12 transfers to free up like another 0.6 million in order to move KDB to Salah. And I'm just going to do
so,
that.
So fine. You know? Congratulations on having the money. The reason I ask what about you is how are you going to justify bringing Salah in at this point?
I mean, it's just he plays, you know, they're playing West Ham at home. He plays Forest in 13. I mean, he's the best captain, I think, for game week 12 as well. I mean, you know, if Spurs played anybody, like, I just don't love that Man United away fixture for Spurs. I mean, it's okay, but like.
I don't like it either, you know, honestly.
Yeah. And so that to me, then it's like, okay, like, who's the best team that does play in game week 12, right? It's Liverpool at home to West Ham. And it's just like, okay, I think in your case, you could, if you were so bold, you know, if you're so willing to do it, then you could just, you know, I don't think Diaz resting is like in any way a permanent thing. Or I think it was kind of like a one-off recovering from IB or whatever.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Who knows? We don't know what's going on.
Not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if you decided, you know what, I'm going to make this move and bring in Zaha and Kane, and I am going to captain Luis Diaz in game week 12. Problem solved. Then you just you just go with him over, you know, because I don't have Diaz, and so for me it's like that's not really on the table. But that would be, I mean, okay, because I guess the question is like, is Salah going to outscore everybody in game week 12 by so much? I mean, he's the only one that's got like the high ceiling, even though we have not seen it at all this year. Like he has been terrible. Like what? Like, are we honestly going crazy right now? Like building so much of our strategy around him. Like
that's why I'm pushing you on this strategy. And I do, even though I'm addicted to Mo Salah, like you are, God help us.
Yeah.
I do think there is something to Mo out for De Bruyne in game week 10, and then bring Mo back in game week 12.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess if you did it, then I would only go to KDB, because otherwise it gets very complicated. Or then you kind of immediately have to base
how
all your transfers
on.
Well, okay, so let's say you don't go with KDB and you bring in Zaha and Kane, then game week 11 and 12 transfers have to be about bringing Salah back, right? Like you're not going to have 5 million in the bank to move to him. So then
sure. Yeah. But what I'm suggesting is just very straightforward. Mm-hmm. That's this one position. Salah becomes De Bruyne in game week 10, and you play De Bruyne in game weeks 10 and 11, and then you transfer De Bruyne to Salah in game week 12.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I just, to me, that does feel like a waste of two transfers when game weeks 10 and 11 aren't that much better for KDB than Salah, and arguably game week 11 is even better for Salah than KDB, or like roughly the same, I'd say. It's really just game week 10, and then so it's like you're basically going to burn two transfers on the chance that KDB significantly outscores Salah in game week 10 exclusively, you know. And that, I think when you look at it through that lens, it's just not worth it, you know. So That's my two cents anyway. You know, that's
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, on the whole, De Bruyne sits 53 total points for the season, where Salah is 43. So there's just 10 points that separate them on the season. So it's not like apocalyptic, the difference between the two. And Champions League starts up again this week. So we'll see what happens with Mo and KDB. Let's see. I'm pulling up the fixtures right now on Tuesday. You've got Liverpool hosting Rangers at Anfield. So it should be, you know, on the scale of Champions League, kind of a downbeat match.
I mean, it's fun because they're both in the UK, but yeah, that doesn't feel like it's
Yeah, and then City on Wednesday host FC Copenhagen or what have you. I'm sorry, I'm not European. So we'll just see who plays, how many minutes, form, injury, etc. That will help.
I mean, you could see KDB rested, I suppose, this weekend, or Salah seems less likely. KDB, it's possible. You know, we haven't even talked about Foden yet. I mean, Foden has been terrific. I think that third goal really, you know, it's like if that doesn't happen, I don't know how like different the conversation is right now. It feels like it's still pretty KDB centered, but I mean, credit to Foden. He's been, you know, he's 8 million. He's,
Credit to Foden.
Yeah. Hashtag credit to Foden. He's finally having the kind of fantasy season that we always thought he would. Right. Yeah. It's sort of, you know, it looks like he's going to blow away all of his previous numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if he got double digit goals and assists this season. And you know, he's only 8 million. He's actually at his starting price right now. Interestingly enough, Kane is the same way. Kane is actually still down on his starting price, despite being, as you've said, I mean, I guess it's because of that the Kane to Holland,
transfer. You can only have path, one.
You know?
Foden is, I think the thing, the way my mind went to Foden this weekend, not owning him, was, okay, now this is the way Foden makes sense. You know, cast your mind back to an incredible fantasy season with Sturridge, Sterling, and Suarez up front for Liverpool. And you saw the way that all three returned and it all worked out. And this trio of De Bruyne, Foden, and Haaland, you could see it, like you could see the beginnings of it as this Premier League season got off the ground. And I think in the Manchester Derby, it crystallized. This is the attack. This is the Messi, Neymar, Mbappe at City. And it's like so clear for Pep that his best 11 has those three up front. And it's actually like amazing to have Haaland and Foden concentrating on the goal scoring. De Bruyne is just cutting up the midfield, figuring out what to do creatively. And Gundogan and Bernardo Silva just like running circles around everyone, doing all the heavy lifting. It's really, it was remarkable to watch.
When you put it that way, it makes me feel like okay, let me ask you this. This is a question that Paul Pryor was asking about whether we now want to actually consider removing Cancelo for, you know, to free up. But I mean, if you were on a wild card right now, let me give you the numbers real quick, okay? Because I'm curious. Sure. If you were on a wild card right now, right now as in like this game week is tricky because Man City don't play in game week 12. But let's say it's game week 13, okay? And you know, so, you know, like a month from now, you know, and everything's probably going to be different. But let's just say it happened. You have Foden is 8 million, 5 goals, 3 assists. Started, I believe it's 7 of 8. Cancelo, 7.2 million, 1 goal, 1 assist, 4 clean sheets. Started all 8 matches. So Foden, and in terms of total points, I think that they're fairly close. It looks like Foden's on 51, Cancelo's on 43. So Foden is outscoring Cancelo a little bit. Of course, the 19 this game week really changes things a little bit. But would you have Foden or Cancelo right now? I mean, I'm assuming that you know, based on everything you've said so far, that KDB and Haaland would be the two that you'd really be targeting. I mean, I guess there's an argument for having. For not having KDB, right, and having Haaland, Foden, and Cancelo, too. I mean, that would certainly give you a lot of extra cash.
Yeah, but I think you do go Haaland, KDB, and Foden for the reasons I kind of like laid out, how impressive they look as an attacking trio. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Manchester City defense. It's not like I can't fault their defense terribly because I mean, it's got to be such a head game for these guys to absolutely kill repeatedly their opposition in the first half and then wander out of the locker room to play another 45 minutes, you know, thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner or something like that. I don't know. And like to Cancelo compared to Trent. Cancelo is, he's not like the best defender in the world, but he's not out there getting mugged off like Trent is on a weekly basis. He's putting the work in. He's at least present. Yeah. He's at least present to make that penalty, terrible penalty tackle, whereas Trent would have just been like picking daisies in left field or something like
that. Lost that first Brighton goal, man. Ooh, that's tough.
So my point is kind of, and like I thought, Ake and the Dortmund defender whose name escapes me right now, I thought they played. I mean, Ake, I think, is having a pretty good start to the season. They played incredibly well against Dortmund in the Champions League. So their defense is good, but they're just like, there's nothing for them to really do. And this is like my concern about carrying Cancelo. If what they're going to do is just shoot the lights out in the first half and then lose their concentration in the second half, the upside is so much better with a player like Foden than it is Cancelo.
A kanji, by the way. And I loved the announcers were having so much fun at the end of that match because it was so clearly over. They're like, and kanji was incredible today. And it's like, should we give him the man of the match? And then, you know, it's like, I think you can give a central defender a man of the match in a nine goal derby.
Sure, why not?
But he was, I agree. He was good. I was actually thinking how interesting it is that there's just like this weird thing that Pep does with center backs where every year there's like a center back who comes to Man City and has an absolutely incredible year. And then that's like it for them. You know, it's like,
Leonardo DiCaprio with girlfriends, basically. Pep with center backs.
You have Diaz, Laporte before that. Who was the one? He was kind of the shorter guy. You know, he had kind of a
like Otamendi
neck. Otamendi. Yeah, exactly. Otamendi. You had Otamendi. It was like these guys emerge and then that's it. You know, it's like other clubs, though their center back will be, you know, Vincent Kompany was like, he was the last one who was allowed to be like an imperious permanent center back for Man City. But anyway, I think I'm with you. I think they're just going to score so many goals. And I think I hadn't even thought about the kind of just getting slack defensively late, but I think that makes a lot of sense. Like that they're just, there's going to be a lot of matches where they're up 4-0 and they're just kind of kicking the ball around, you know, for the last 30 minutes or so. And
you put on the Harlem Globetrotters music during the second half of that Manchester derby, and it makes so much more sense, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to there are a couple of questions about defenders, Brent. I'm going to skip down to these defender questions. And this is actually, I think we haven't talked about him enough. But FPL Hints, our friend Ash says, with 6 fantasy returns in 8 games, is Trippier the budget breakout star of the early season?
I think so. I do. And just, I think the thing you look for in defenders, particularly sort of as Ash sorts of positions it as a breakout stars, where are they with bonus? And Trippier has logged 5 bonus, and it's interesting where he's, even though you pick Trippier up as a fantasy asset because he has also attacking potential, he's getting bonus even when he doesn't get attacking returns. So against Fulham, 4-1 victory, you think in 4 goals for Newcastle, those bonus are going to be spread around the attackers. But because, I mean, Trippier is helped there by the fact that he was subbed before the clean sheet wipeout. I get that.
The glorious, one of the great fantasy moments is when your player gets subbed before the clean sheet.
But you look at the first 2 game weeks of the season against Forest and Brighton, also 7 pointers each for Trippier there with no attacking returns. So he's just doing all of the things on the pitch that generate FPL output. So I agree. I think Trippier is kind of a must. He's required. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, 5.4, it's, you know, it's interesting. He has exactly the same returns as Cancelo so far in the season. One goal, one assist, four clean sheets, which is exactly what Cancelo has. Cancelo has two more bonus points than Trippier, and so they're separated just by that, basically. Yeah. But he is 1.8 million more expensive. So now, of course, you know, you can't look at that, you know, just in a short sample over the course of a season. I think that Cancelo still probably ends up the highest scoring defender, just because he always starts for Man City. But yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's the question to me now, it's almost like the Trippier question is resolved. You know, it's like, yeah, you got to just have him because they're, you know, he's on set pieces. He is attacking. The defense is really not bad for Man City, for Newcastle. The question really is whether you want to have two, you know, and I think that I have Botman right now, and I think he's really one to consider. He's new to the club, and so his minutes like a little funky if you look at them. You know, it's like he's missed a couple starts. He had a mild injury in game week 8, and so we didn't play in that one. But you know, otherwise it seems like he's pretty much, you know, locked in as that one of the starting center backs. He's only 4.4 million. And the other real benefit, Brandon, we're talking about game week 12, is Newcastle host Everton in game week 12. So, you know, arguably the best defensive fixture for game week 12. And so I think that I think you could really consider having a second defender.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I guess I think I'd rather have Botman. Would I rather have Botman over Fofana?
That's a tough one.
And the other option there is
you were so anti Fofana last week.
I remain so.
Botman, yeah,
yeah. Guess who got skinned for that Crystal Palace goal and robbed me of a Reece James clean sheet? It was Wesley Fofana. I see you, Wesley. I'm watching you. But I think if you double up on Newcastle defense, Nick Pope has got to be the second for. I just don't see fielding two outfield Newcastle defenders as a huge plus for fantasy.
Well, it would be a thing you'd only do very rarely, but you know, sticking a 4 million, a 4.4 million starting defender on your bench is not a bad move.
I agree.
That's actually one of the reasons I think Foden is more appealing this year too. To go back to that for a second, is because there are a lot of cheap players that you can stick on your bench this season and actually get minutes if you don't get any, you know, from one of your Man City players. It's going to happen to all of us. It's going to happen to Haaland soon. Haaland will not start a match soon, Brennan. Mark my words, it will happen at some point this season.
Why? I don't understand this.
Well, there's just going to be some stretch of time where they have, you know, it'll be like a, you know, there'll be a midweek Premier League fixture, a weekend fixture, a Champions League fixture, and then another Premier League fixture the next weekend, right? And he'll have played the full 90 and those three in a row, and then they're going to play like, you know, whatever, you know, Forest at home or something like that. And like, you know, he's not going to, like, it's just because Pep always does this. I mean, like, he, you know, why would he be the first player who's immune to Pep rotation completely? I mean, I know that he's young and healthy, but like, eventually all of these guys, because they also have an awesome additional forward that they bought this summer who looks great every time they give him minutes, and eventually he's gonna tear it up in the Carabao Cup. I don't mean to plant that. I mean, it doesn't change anything. Yeah,
this may seem weird to say, because generally I'm not into this whole like inside the locker room sort of thing, but I believe Haaland plays when Haaland wants to play, not when Pep says he plays.
Wow. I mean, that just sounds very un-Pep to me, you know?
I agree, but I believe it to be true.
Until he gives away the ball, you know, in one moment in a match.
We'll see.
Three matches in a row to punish him. All right, a couple more questions. Steven Curtis says, is Reece James a trap? You can't call him a trap, right? Because if you watch, so I wasn't able to watch the Chelsea game in full. I started to watch it, and then I had a kid's birthday party this weekend, Brandon, and you know, these things you have to pay at least a little attention, don't you? You know, it's really to be a upstanding upstanding parent, you know. But I couldn't watch the game. I'm joking, of course, but I couldn't watch the game, and so I watched the extended highlights later, and it's like every Chelsea highlights package is like the Rhys James highlight show. You know, yeah. It's like he's involved in everything. Even if he's not the one who's like almost scoring or assisting, he's like setting up the play, right? He's like incredibly involved. And so,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. So what do you think? What are your thoughts on Rhys James?
I think Rhys James is great and not a trap. I hate the fact that basically over a year and a half, I have only gotten ones and twos and sometimes zeros from this guy. And I'm still sitting here telling everybody that he's, you know, I think he's probably the best right back in the league. I think that he's not benefiting from Chelsea just being in a state of chaos. But if you have Rhys James, he's an easy, just don't even consider dropping him to me. I think he's great. We're going to get returns. It's hard to stomach when he ultimately will provide you with that 12 point return. You're like, okay, well, finally now his like average weekly return is roughly like, I don't know, 4.8. Still pretty good, but
still pretty good.
I would like it to be a little more rock star than it is. But yeah, all that said, I mean, if Rhys James goes to Man City, well, I don't know why he would do that, but
we're just, if you were just on crazy speculation on this week's pod.
Yeah, I mean, just put Rhys James on the like a hypothetical best team on planet Earth, and you'd not be able to stop him from returning FPL points every week.
I'm sad that I don't have him right now because this Wolves game and game, this Wolves match in game week 10, Wolves without a manager now, have no
Wolves have been without a manager for roughly a year. That's now. True. So,
yeah, you know, sometimes these like these post sacking matches are kind of like they can go one way or the other, right? Like the team rallies and they score a couple quick ones and, or they just give up completely. So we'll, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. All right. Well, I got one final question here.
Just before we move on from that, you did miss the narrative of Diego Costa playing against Chelsea for Wolves. There's really no way in which Costa does not score against Chelsea. There's no way. He's going to score.
I kind of blocked that transfer from my memory. I forgot that was even like a thing. He did. Yeah. So he came out and played 32 minutes in the West Ham match. So you'll probably get a start now, I would think.
Yeah. He had one move. They looked remarkably better. And it was actually a sight to behold with Adama Traore and Diego Costa on the pitch at the same time. Like these big dudes with just, I want my football players to be bigger. Make them bigger. Is what I'm asking.
You want it to look like the like weird science, like computer, like just make everything bigger.
Yeah, I want big head mode from NBA Jam. their best attack, Wolves, was down to Diego Costa. So I think he's got potential there.
All right, Brendan, I'm going to skip down to one final question here. It comes from Jamie, and I thought it was a nice way to end this week's pod. He said, would you be able to expand your thoughts on patience? Okay. Now, I'm not talking about the Guns N' Roses song here, Brendan. So I'm although I have thoughts on that too. One of the great quiet, loud kind of songs, you know, that I've been walking the streets at night, you know, at the end there. It's a great at the end of that song. He says, I'm quite a patient player, but was burned this week by not being patient enough since I sold Bowen after his blank versus Everton. You've said recently you think patience is overrated. Says, why is that? Is there a one-size-fits-all rule for how patient to be on a player you're waiting for a return from, or should you decide on a player-by-player basis? So I have talked about this, Brandon, but I want to open it. I'm going to open this up to you first and ask you where you stand circa October 2022 on the idea of patience.
Mm-hmm. Well, patience is like a code word for hindsight. So when you talk about,
right,
you're like, well, I wasn't patient enough because that player returned. Like, you absolutely made the right move with Bowen because West Ham were looking tired and dire, and Bowen, it wasn't clicking. And it's because Bowen returns this week, it doesn't mean that you made the wrong move. Well, let's see what Bowen does over the course of the next month. Because if you kept Bowen for his goal and assist, then you continue to keep him.
Yeah.
What you want to patience should say to you in this respect, I need to be patient that you can make this, you can twist this argument any way you want. Could patience be, I need to be patient that the decision to get rid of Bowen was the correct one. And that's not necessarily going to bear out to be true within the one game week in which Bowen suddenly magically returns. Let's see what happens over the next 4 weeks. And
it's very Bowen specific right now.
It is very Bowen specific, but I think it could be any player. Patience usually means you're just like kicking the dirt, waiting for something to happen. And that is how you lose ground in fantasy. So this is why I was pushing you and spending so much time on the whole Salah to De Bruyne back to Salah argument, because I do think that there's something to the just jump as quickly as you can to the hot asset. Yeah. Hot in form asset, I should say, because you have to move fast, particularly if you want to climb rank. And if you're just going to sit around waiting for a 12-point return, like that Bowen, I don't know how whatever points return he had, it wasn't worth waiting for. I'll tell you that much. It would have been great to have it in the week. I would have loved to have Bowen's points instead of four from Luis Diaz, of course. I think that, yeah, ultimately what you're talking about usually with patience is hindsight. So I don't know. Where are you at with patience?
Well, I mean, I guess I can't remember the context in which I said this, but I guess what I probably meant was that I am less patient when it comes to the idea that fixtures will save a player, you know, like there's a player on my team and I'm sort of hanging on because I've got a really good fixture coming up, you know, or a good run. Fixtures do fix form for sure. But I feel like, I guess in general, the only players that I would really, that I'm really patient with are players that have a very strong historical track record, very strong, you know, and almost everybody else I'm willing to move on strong and sustained, you know, like over like multiple seasons, ideally, you know, otherwise, like we're still talking about Salah on this podcast, despite the fact that he has not been good in the entire year of 2022. Right. And that's because we have learned to be patient with him because it is such a sustained record of excellence. Right. Mm-hmm. But there are also times when you make a transfer, you know, like I brought in, forgetting his name right now. That's how done I was with him after I made this move, Brandon. But
Brendan Aaronson,
right? Brendan Aaronson a handful of weeks ago, and it didn't work out. And he was just gone after 2 weeks. You know, it's like so I have no patience with my own transfers unless I'm bringing in like a blue chip level, you know, player, like somebody that I know. Like if I brought in Cancelo and Cancelo had three blanks in a row, that still wouldn't really change my opinion on him, right? I know the Man City has a great defense. I know that he's a great fantasy asset. It's a great sustained run of excellence. I'm not going to let any, you know, number of fixtures dissuade me. If I bring in someone, I'm more of a flyer, right? Like if I brought in Dallow or something like that, it just didn't work out for a few weeks, I would not be patient with him. I would not be like, oh, the fixtures are good coming up. I'd just be like, yeah, he's gone. It was a bad transfer.
Dallow is dunzo. That's what you'd say.
Dallow is dunzo. That's what the New York Post would say, Brandon, at the top of the headline. But I think that there are certain people who fall in love with their own players, certain fantasy managers fall in love with their own players and have a lack of optimism about what's out there. You know, they sort of can tell a story about how the player that they keep, and this is what you're talking about with Salah a little bit, I grant you. Mm-hmm. I think the Salah case is unique because of this Game Week 12 situation. I think in general, I think it would be fine to get rid of Salah, but I think Game Week 12 warps things a little too much. But I think in general that people can build a narrative for why their player they're holding on to could still do something and why things might not work out for the player they're going to bring in, you know? And I think that is something that And they're like, I just want to be patient with this player or whatever. And usually it's just that they don't want to commit to the transfer. You know, they don't want to commit to a decision on somebody, you know? And so I think that, I think in general, patience is a like kind of, maybe this is what you're getting at with hindsight a little bit, but to me, patience is often a, like a word for like, I just too nervous, you know, to like make a transfer here, you know? And sure. It's easier to just not
break up with that girl.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easier just to go out on a couple more dates and think all your problems are just going to magically go away. Yeah,
we got some trips coming up, some vacations, you know.
surely a vacation is going to solve this. Yeah. I tell you what, it feels great when you finally
I'm sure
it feels great for those women when they ultimately broke up with me, Josh, is what I'm trying to say. But
here's how I'll wrap this up. This, you know, this is like, it actually ties back to Erling Haaland, because once you finally give in and just have Erling Haaland, the next time he goes off, which he probably will as soon as this next weekend, it will feel really good, right? Like you will have just, you know, like stopped being sort of, I don't know, like maybe patient with like an algorithm that continues to tell you that Mo Salah is the preferred choice over Haaland. I'm not.
Thanks, sure algorithm.
Southampton. Yeah. I'm really going anti-algorithm today. I don't mean to, because I actually... I think FPL Review in particular has been wonderful this season. I've loved using it. I think it's a great tool. So I don't want to sound like I'm in any way denigrating the stuff. But I think it should be part of the fun for everybody. Like beating the algorithm is satisfying. Brendan, you talk about having people that you want to beat, you know? Beating the algorithm.
How about a robot?
Like, it's great fun, you know? Like, I mean, it's like when people are like, oh, yeah, like, God, the algorithm, I knew I should have gone with Haaland, but the algorithm told me I couldn't, you know? And it's like, that's so satisfying when you beat the algorithm. How could it not be? What are you rooting for, Deep Blue versus Garry Kasparov in the chess matches? You know, it's like root for the human. You know, it's like yeah. But also,
thank you
for
making
an iPhone,
a chess reference that is not anal bead related. I appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I come, Jamie. If you want to become a Patreon, I don't know, maybe you are already, Jamie, but come become a Patreon supporter and let's talk about it more on the Slack. So, Brendan, thanks so much for, thank you. There's no reason for me to thank you, and I never will again.
Please don't.
But thank you to everyone for listening to this podcast. If you want to talk with us more, get the extra podcast each week, get entered into that mug giveaway and the kit giveaway, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brendan, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yeah, big thanks to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ringerson, our buddy Chris Howell, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazaros Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Rich Evans, Blair Jacobson, Todd Barley, Mikey Uong, Shiv Marjoria, Andy Partlock, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Lee Hickman, Volger, Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, James Conroy, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Roberto Morals, Thomas Tislov, and you could be next. Go to patreon.com/OSheen. Rate, review, subscribe. I called out people rating our podcast on Spotify and Apple 5 stars, and lo and behold, Josh, we got a few more. And
that's great.
Prayer hands emoji. That's so satisfying to see, and helpful for
that's
the
great
podcast.
Thank
so,
you
know, Patreon's not your thing. Just give us 5 stars, and that's thanks enough. Also, follow us on Twitter at Hell Cheaters. Visit us at alwayscheating.com for all this information and more.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And good luck in Game Week 10. Bye.